Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Are you ready for the party tonight? Yeah? Good. Welcome. My name is Marco Russo. I'm a BI consultant, and I worked with analysis services since 99, and with Tabular since Power Pivot version 1 or beta something. Today with me on stage, there is Alberto. Alberto, present yourself.
Today I will be just the demo monkey, so don't take care of me. I'm just here to show some demos.
Yes, demo monkey.
But apart from that, I'm a monkey.
Yeah. Don't talk too much, and I will talk, okay?
I can hide.
You demo. Nice. Very good. Okay. So here are my information, Twitter, URL, and everything. What we'll discuss. The idea is that we will make a short history of the analysis services, what we have today, what we had in the past, and how this become what is today the BIS model. We will talk shortly about X-Velocity. X-Velocity is the in-memory engine that is very important to Tabular, and there is a reason for that. And then we will try to compare the pattern between multidimensional and Tabular. The idea is that in order to compare these two models, and in order to decide who is the winner, we will see who is the winner between Tabular and model, and Tabular and multidimensional, we have to understand when one is better than the other, and if there are situations when we can choose, or when there are situations when they are the same. So we will also make some consideration about porting or migrating existing solution, and then at the end, we will see who win. So short history. UDM means unified dimensional model. It has debuted in the market in 2005 with SQL Server 2005, and the idea is that there should be just one model for every report. So the idea is that either if you have to print an invoice or you have to create a big aggregation of data over 5 years, you should have had the same data model. And we know this doesn't happen. But in 2012, now we have the BI semantic model, which seems to be a new UDM, but it is not. In reality, what we have now is that we have a unified way to create a model, but as you can see, dimensional is no longer part of the name. We talk about semantic model, we talk about business intelligence, but we are no longer talking about dimensional, and there is a reason for that. If we have a dimensional model, we can express a dimensional model in Tabular, but if we don't have a dimensional model, we can still use Tabular in order to make our analysis. And sometimes we have some data model that is not easy to be represented through a dimensional model. I'm not saying that we should go out from Kimball and from dimensional model. I'm not saying this. I'm just saying that sometimes some model cannot be expressed very well in UDM, in a dimensional model, in a star schema. So we have a single technology, which is analysis services, that is able to handle two different engines. And the idea is that in a, I don't know how much far future, we should be able to combine different languages, different engines, and different data models in any combination as we want. Today, we are not in this position. Today, we have the capability of designing the data model in a dimensional way, so like you know in UDM, like you know in analysis services 2005, 8, 8R2, and so on. And we now have the ability to continue this experience, but we have, side by side, the ability to create a tabular model, where in tabular, we don't identify dimensions and facts. We just have tables and columns, data, with relationships, with some metadata, but not with a stronger and rich dimensional model we have in multidimensional. We also have languages like MDX and DEX that are used to define the internal logic of the measures, and we have also internal engines to access the storage. So we have X-Velocity, Vertipack, Direct Query, Molap, Rollup, and so on. But Rollup and Molap belongs to the dimensional model, to the multidimensional model, whereas Direct Query and X-Velocity belongs to the tabular model. Today, we can use MDX to query both models, and by now, we can just use DEX to query a tabular model. We cannot use DEX to query a multidimensional model, even if sometime it will happen that you will be able to use DEX also to query a multidimensional model. So the question that a lot of people do is, okay, what I have to do? Do I have to move all my projects to tabular? Do I have to keep my project in multidimensional when I have to choose one over the other? And this is the idea of this session. I assume that you know multidimensional characteristics that are the same that you have seen in the previous version of analysis services. And now we have tabular. And tabular has a particular important feature. It has an engine that is very, very fast. This engine is called X-Velocity. Internally, we call this engine also Vertipack, which was the previous name, internal name. Now it's called X-Velocity In-Memory Analytic Engine, Vertipack. And it is an in-memory engine, is a columnar engine, and it works with a high, very high ratio of compression. Data is stored in a compressed way in memory, and it uses DEX as the primary language to access the data model. This is not really true, but we can think that DEX is the primary language to be used with tabular. Internally, the tabular engine doesn't use DEX in reality, but in order to simplify this session, we don't go too much in detail with that. So if we compare just the engine with OLAP, usually it is faster because it does not require, it does not leverage on aggregations, and it just uses data in memory. It scans memory a lot of times, but it usually returns data in a very fast way. So should we use just tabular? We have X-Velocity. This is the new engine, so we should use just this engine and nothing else? Or is it better to investigate, to compare the two models, to try to understand if we should choose one over the other? So analysis services has the ability to be used side by side. That means that you can install two instances of analysis services also on the same machine, even if we don't suggest to do this in production. But you can install one instance in multidimensional mode and one instance in tabular. You also have SharePoint, which is for the PowerPivot for SharePoint, which is a different flavor of tabular. Fundamentally, the internal engine of the SharePoint mode is the same of the tabular mode. This choice has to be made at an instance level, and you can install the two services on the same machine if you want. So we have to spend some time talking about X-Velocity. X-Velocity is an in-memory database. It's based on relationships between tables, but it is a column-oriented database. And what does it mean that it is a column-oriented database? Probably many of you are used to the row-oriented databases because SQL Server, Access, Oracle are all row-oriented databases, which means that the data is physically stored in memory row by row. If you think about a table, like the customer's table, when we store this table physically on disk in SQL Server, we have pages of data in which in each page we have several rows. So we have three rows in one page, other three rows in one page, and so on. Every time we have to access with one query to a single column in a table, we have to access to all the data of this table, because to get the data of each row but from just one column, we have to access to the page that contains the whole row. And this means that we have to access to a large amount of memory, even together a little bit of data. But this is the way we are used to work, and it seems normal. What is a columnar-oriented database? The idea is that instead of storing data row by row, we store data column by column. So the same table can be stored, imagine on disk, in different files, where in each file you just have one column. What does it mean? If I have to calculate the sum of the balance due, I just have to sum data in one file. I don't have to access to other files. A columnar-oriented database does not have to be in memory. It could be on disk. And it makes sense because it produces a faster access to data for one or two columns. But of course, when you have to access to one row with all the columns, you have to spend more time, more CPU. You have to regenerate in memory the data, gathering all the columns from different objects. So it's a more expensive operation. So the idea is that it is not that one is better than the other. These are two different choices that are pros and cons. And the pros of columnar storage-oriented databases is that in order to access to a single column, we get better performance. And because we do business intelligence and we usually aggregate data by using just a few columns and group data by using just a few columns, this could be interesting. Usually, we trade CPU versus I/O because we lower the amount of I/O required to access to this data, imagining that these data are on disk, of course. But data are not only stored by column, are also compressed, which is a common characteristic for columnar databases, and is stored in memory. So you combine all these elements together. What does it mean that data are compressed? Think about the possible algorithms that can be used to compress data in one column. One is run length encoding. That means if I have my column that contains quarter, I may have the same value over several contiguous rows. And in this case, I can represent a list of the list of same value over many rows in a more compressed way. I can say, oh, quarter one starts in row one and I have the same value for 310 rows, and so on. So for each column, I can use a smaller amount of memory in order to represent the same information. And of course, when a column contains data that don't have duplicated values, in a contiguous way, it would be not efficient to use the run length encoding, and X-Velocity automatically choose not to use this type of compression. Another compression that is used is the dictionary encoding. That means that I may have several values in my column, for example, a string, a number, and so on, and Vertipack creates a dictionary of all the distinct values and represents the data by using just the number of bits, not bytes, bits, that are necessary, that are required in order to represent an index to the dictionary. So for each row, we just have 2 bits if we have just 4 different values in one row. The consequence that, of course, you can combine, and X-Velocity combine these two techniques together in order to obtain the maximum compression. Now, an interesting thing is that you are used to think about, I have to choose the data type of one column in order to optimize the storage for this column. Imagine that you remove this idea, because now you have to think, if I want to optimize this column, it doesn't matter what is the data type. What is important is to count how many distinct values I have in this column. If I can reduce the number of distinct values in one column, I will obtain a better compression because I will obtain a smaller dictionary and a smaller number of bits in order to represent my value. This is something that seems strange. It is. At the beginning, we are not used to that. So this is the characteristic of X-Velocity. It works only in memory. It works with compressed data. And this has a consequence. Hardware becomes relevant. CPU, RAM becomes relevant, whereas disk is not important. We don't have any access to the I/O when you run a query. And this means that even if you use the same product analysis services, depending on the service that you install, depending on the mode that you have, Tabular has a requirement where RAM and core speed of your cores is very, very important. Whereas when you run in multidimensional mode, it is not that it's not important, but it is much more important having fast I/O, especially for certain operation when you have to access to the disk several ways. And SSD are very good for multidimensional, especially if you have distinct count measures. So if you have enough budget, it would be better to choose different hardware to get the best performance for different instances. If you have the same budget, you should allocate this budget in a different way depending on the fact that you will run a tabular or a multidimensional instance. So we have some limitation. The database must fit in memory. We don't have some features that we have in multidimensional, like we don't have support for translations. We don't have the notion of a set stored on the server. We don't have the MDX script, and we just have simple one-to-many relationships that can be defined in the data model. So let's start to compare these two words. Now that I introduced the tabular, we can think about what is different between these two words. And of course, I consider that we can assume that the simple things like adventure works, get the sum of the quantity, they are the same. So let's start to see where these models are really different. And one is the distinct count measure. In multidimensional, distinct count is a pain. Every time a customer asks me a distinct count measure, I tried for several years to convince him that, it is not so important having the distinct count, especially when on the same fact table he wanted to get more than one distinct count measure. For example, I want to get the distinct count of products and the distinct count of customers. Because the distinct count requires another read of the same fact table and requires to sort this fact table by the column that you use for the distinct count. However, in tabular, we have a different experience. First, distinct count is fast. Second, distinct count does not require another read of the data when you process data. Third, we can create distinct count measures on the fly at query time without having to prepare them in the data model, trying to know in advance what the end user will want to do with our model. So, Alberto, can you show me something?
Yep, just give me the monitor. Okay. First thing that I want to show you is the number of rows we are going to use for our demos. And
yeah.
We have a table which is more or less 4 billion rows.
2 billions were not enough for you.
Yeah, and the reason is that Microsoft normally goes on showing 2 billion rows, but we are really cooler than them, and we want to go with 4 billion rows. And so this is the size of our table. It contains some data. It's not very important to understand now what kind of data is there. The query that I want to show you is pretty easy. Here you can see the SQL equivalent. I'm simply taking year, month, and then the distinct count of individual IDs, starting from one table and doing a join with another table.
So you have a join between two tables?
Yeah, but of course I have a dimension which is ID individuals, which is individuals, and then I have my fact table, and I simply create a join between them.
So run this query. Let's see.
Okay. Let's run the query. I honestly don't remember how much time is required, but to scan 4 billion rows and take the distinct count of individuals and dividing them by year and by month, it takes 7 seconds.
Use the zoom so we can see better.
Yep, let's make it bigger.
7 seconds, okay. 4 billion rows. Okay, Alberto, but
what's wrong?
It's not wrong. It is that you try to count the ID individual on the fact table.
Oh, that's a mistake
and,
I always do.
Individuals is a slowly changing dimension type 2 dimension. And this means that you are counting how many versions of individuals you have. I want to know how many different individuals you have, not how many different versions. This is just your modeling. That
I think the easiest way would be to move to a slowly changing dimension type 1.
But you would have to reprocess the whole database of 4 billion rows. We have just 54 minutes now, so please.
Okay. If what you want to do is really get the distinct count of the natural key, the business key of the code, then you don't need to do anything strange in Tabular. You just need to write the query in a slightly different way. And this time, we are not counting the distinct count of surrogate key, but we are counting the distinct count of the business key.
Okay.
And of course, you can expect it to make it longer because the code to run is much, much more complex. It was 7 seconds. Now I don't remember, but it's going to take, yes, 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Oh, nice. Okay. Alberto.
What's wrong again?
Are you using the cache?
You got me. Okay.
Please, please, clear the cache of analysis services and run it again. You have no aggregations, right?
Of course, it's okay. Tabular. We don't have aggregation. It's
no
fast
aggregation,
enough, so you don't need aggregation.
Okay. Distinct count, join, okay. It's interesting.
And at the beginning, they believed that they did not need the cache too.
Yeah.
But at least now we have cache.
Let's zoom on the counter. We are
okay.
12
of course,
seconds,
cache 13. Was used.
Cache is used anyway. Cache is important, but it's
anyway,
not so important.
I think 16 seconds for a 4 billion row scan with a distinct count on the business key is something that you can only dream of using multidimensional. Or you can spend really huge amount of money on hardware, but it is really, really hard to get this kind of performance. And it is interesting to see that by doing the distinct count on the dimension table, you can do distinct count of any attributes of the individuals without having to change anything in the data model.
And you created this on the fly. You created this inside the query, the DAX query. You don't have the need to create these measures in advance on the data model, right?
No, absolutely.
Oh, nice. I like it. Okay. So move back to the slides for a moment. And what about aggregations? Aggregations in multidimensional are something that is hard to design and has cost because over time, depending on the queries made by the end user, you have to maintain the aggregations. And every time you create a new aggregation, it's like creating a new index on SQL Server. You run some query faster, and you move the cost somewhere else in the process in the processing time window. So the idea is that think about the maintenance cost of aggregations. So even if I have potentially the same performance between multidimensional and tabular, Tabular offers me some advantage over multidimensional, which is a lower TCO, okay? Total cost of ownership, because I don't have to care about aggregations. No aggregation. And no aggregation means, however, getting good enough performance, even with 4 billion rows. Remember, Alberto has run these queries on his laptop. Okay, we are not using a server now. We are not connected to a big, big server. We are just using his laptop. So there is another scenario, another pattern. Sometimes you need to do some leaf-level calculation. And this is a scenario where multidimensional can have some trouble because aggregations are good when you work on aggregated data. But if you have to run a calculation at a leaf level, you may have some trouble. You may have some trouble because you may not leverage on aggregations, and in multidimensional, this could be an issue. DAX makes leaf-level calculation easy to write and fast to compute without requiring changes in the data model. So this means also flexibility. You can make a change to your query, you can introduce a leaf-level calculation without changing the data model, and performances are still good. Let's see something, Alberto.
Okay. The next query I want to show you is pretty easy. First of all, before computing at leaf level, we want to get a baseline. So what we want to see is the difference between computing a simple sum or doing a computation at leaf level. So before doing anything else, we run the same query as above, and here we are computing sum of one of the measures which are present inside our fact table. And I just filter 1 month from our 4 billion rows, so it runs faster. We execute it, and at the end, we should get the result in, I think, 4 seconds. So 4 seconds are necessary in order to scan the table and compute everything.
Yeah, but we are using sum. You're just summing one column. Yep, and we have seen that by using one column, you access to just the smaller object you have in memory, in this case,
yep.
in vertical.
I'm going to surprise you.
Let's see.
Let's clear the cache, of course.
You remember that you had to clear
yep,
the cache.
Yeah, I learned
right?
it. Okay. Being a monkey is hard, but I'm learning.
Now, you're a monkey, remember. Demo monkey means you're a monkey, right?
Demo monkey means I'm a monkey, but I don't know the language of monkey, so I need to speak in, I don't know, English too, but okay.
Yeah. Speaking monkey.
Now, what we are doing here is a slightly different calculation, because I want you to compute the weighted age, the weighted mean age of the people who are present in our database. What I need to do is to compute for each single row in my fact table a multiplication, which is weight multiplied by age, and then divide the total get here from the sum of weight. This is leaf-level computation. So for each row of the fact table, this computation is going to happen. And of course, we can expect it to be much slower than before. If you try to do something like this in multidimensional, of course, you are going to wait for hours before
you go to the party. You go to the party and come back the day.
Yeah, that's the reason for the party, I think. In Tabula, you can run it. It was 4 seconds before, and it is now going to take 7 seconds, which is strange because it should run faster.
You didn't clear the cache before.
No, before the first one. Yeah, maybe. Anyway, the difference between the two is really, really low. You can rely on calculation at the leaf level without having to worry too much about the impact of performances. Of course, this doesn't happen for all the calculations. This is computation that is being pushed down through the VertiPack engine. So VertiPack is going to compute all the calculation during the scan of the table. But it gives you an idea of how fast you can go by using the VertiPack engine.
For
and of course, you have leaf level calculation in a lot of scenarios.
For those of you that think that this query is running slow, please, Alberto, can you enlarge the result? There are 50 rows in the result. For each row, a complete
there are less. Oh, okay. I think okay. 12, 10.
Anyway, for each row of a result, theoretically, a scan of the fact table has to be done, even if you have a filter that requires to filter some data. But in terms of computation, we are scanning several times the fact table in order to produce this result. Okay. Move to the PowerPoint slides. Now, this is an interesting. I have to say, we added this section of the presentation during TechEd because talking with many of you, we discovered that something that we thought was just a theoretical issue that we thought few people had, in reality, is a much common pattern that we can have. How many of you have a snapshot? Let's try another way that is easier. How many of you work in insurances companies? Oh, very few. How many of you have a balance account in their data warehouse? Balance account sheet? Some more. Okay. How many of you have a warehouse? Warehouse stock? So many. Okay. You should be friendly with this model. Many of you have a scenario where you have transactions over time, movements, contracts, whatever. And because you want to analyze data at a certain point in time, and you want to look at how this data changed over time, because of the computational power required to create a single point in time, you end up creating a much larger table that we call a snapshot that persists the result of a computation. This is the general idea of what a snapshot is. And if you think, I mentioned a few specific industries before, just because probably you don't have exactly this model, but if you think well about what you have, you may end up having billions of rows that are generated starting from millions of rows, and you have duplicated your data just because you wanted to look at data in an easier way to be queried and to be graphically shown in a chart. Okay? Are you familiar with this model? Many of you say yes. Nice. Now, think about this. For example, a warehouse. So we have movements. Products come in, products goes out, and we can try to create the snapshot at a particular date by using a cube over the movements data. So if we create a cube in multidimensional based on this fact table, we can create a query in MDX that generates the snapshot at query time for each particular date that you want. You can do that. What is the problem? This is the MDX query that we have to write, and it just works. It works. The problem is that if you write this query and try to make this query fast, you have to create aggregations at day level so that the computation of this query just perform a sum of the data aggregated at the day level. So if you have 1 year, you have to aggregate 365 numbers. The problem is that as soon as you start to slice data by using other dimensions, your aggregations start to grow. And if you want to be free to slice data in any way the end user wants to do, you end up having too many aggregations in order to cover all the possible requests made by the user. For this reason, we use the snapshot. And the snapshot is an easier way to look at the data, because with the snapshot, we use the last child measure in MDX, in multidimensional, and we just get one single point in time. We don't have to aggregate data too much, because we just get a partition, for example, of data, and we get the result in a fast way. But this has a cost. The cost is storage, ETL, and time to process data. If I do the same index, I can obtain the same result with this DAX query, which is not more complex. I would say it is simpler than the MDX query, but has a particular advantage over MDX. It does not require any aggregation to be fast. So this means that if I use VertiPack, instead of reading a snapshot in memory and trying to get the last date for a particular period, I could try to create a snapshot on the fly. It seems a crazy thing to do, but it could be not, because in this way, my data could be stored in memory, whereas if you use snapshots, you may have the problem that your data does not fit in memory because of the size. So I'm not saying that we can solve every problem in this way, but this is a scenario that can be tried, and we have seen that we can get good performances when we are able to store the original data in memory. So this is an interesting thing. Again, we don't have many-to-many relationships in Tabular. That means that you cannot create the data model and say, oh, well, there is a many-to-many relationships between accounts and customer. For example, a bank has accounts bank accounts. Every bank account may have several customers. Every customer can access to the whole amount of money that is in the bank account. But if we consider the sum of customers, we should consider each account only once when we aggregate customers. Usually, this is solved in multidimensional by creating a many-to-many relationship, which works, but it has a critical point, that is the size of the bridge table. If the size of the bridge table is 1,000, 10,000 rows, usually everything is fine. But if you have a bank, or if you work in a bank, probably, if you have a bank, probably you're not here. But if you work in a bank, probably the size of the bridge table is a large number because it requires to store all the combinations between accounts and customers, which is a number higher than the number of accounts, which is, I hope for you, a very high number, millions probably. And this usually is not so fast. We can try to optimize it, but at the end, we will never reach very, very good performances. Now, in Tabular, we don't have many-to-many relationships, but we have DEX, and we can do funny things in DEX. Alberto, let me show what you can do in DEX.
Yeah. The data model you have seen before in reality contains several tables, of course, and there is a many-to-many relationship between the fact table and the category table. These are the sizes of the data model we are working on. We have, again, our 4 billion rows on the fact table, more or less 2.7 million rows inside the bridge table, and 152,000 rows for the individuals. What's happening? Okay. Against this table, of course, we cannot create a data model with many-to-many relationship inside the data model, but we have DAX. The DAX pattern is not very easy to understand, but it's at least understandable. And in this query, now I am computing, again, the weighted mean age, so I'm going leaf-level calculation, and by using this technique, which is calculate table and use bridge individual targets as one of the parameters of calculate tables, I can put a filter on targets, which is a table which is far away from our fact table, and then I will traverse our 2.7 million rows bridge table in order to filter the final table. Of course, we don't have many-to-many relationship. We need to build many-to-many relationship inside DAX. This means slightly more complex DAX expression, but the speed you can have by querying, again, our 4 billion rows fact table is 9 seconds to compute this value, which is more or less the same time we had before when we were not using the many-to-many relationship. So the point is that I'm not saying that many-to-many relationships are definitely cheap and you don't have to care about them, but at least you can use them pretty easily. In multidimensional, they are there, but they are so slow that at the end, you always try to find a way to optimize them. In multidimensional, they are harder to code because you need to learn DAX and to use DAX, but they are so fast that you can easily use them.
So in this case, I would like to remember to attendees that you made a session about many-to-many relationships.
Yep.
So if you are interested in all the details of the many-to-many relationships in DAX, you can watch the recorded session of Alberto that you delivered on Tuesday, right?
On Tuesday, yep.
Okay. So, Alberto, let me show. Okay, we have seen the many-to-many, we have seen distinct count, we have seen leaf-level calculation. What happens if you put everything together?
Let's put everything together. So we simply write a query, which is not very simple, but it's simply long. Here we simply do the count of rows, then we compute weighted aggregation, and at the end we compute distinct count traversing a many-to-many relationship in order to reach our fact table, again, over our 4 billion rows table. And so if we make everything together, we run it, and again, I don't remember how much time is it going to take. Before it was 9 seconds. Oh, we are using the cache. 3 seconds is definitely
not really true. But the cache is important, as you can see. Once you start, if you have many users working on the same database, The cache is relevant. The cache is used by Vertipack, and it's interesting because it works also when many-to-many relationships are involved.
Yeah, but that's interesting because you don't have to do anything strange. It was running in 9 seconds before. Now we are doing distinct counts, so we can expect it to be slightly slower. But in 12 seconds, we have been able to scan our 4 billion rows fact table through a many-to-many relationship, compute distinct count, and compute leaf-level aggregation all at the same time. Of course, during that time, the CPU are all up and running at 100%. Okay. But of course, this is the good
Alberto,
news.
It seems that we want to make Tabular win, but we try not to be... We have to be
Don't
fair.
Don't we?
No. We have to be fair. And we have seen that in terms of computational power, Vertipack X Velocity is very good. Okay. Now, let's try to look at other features, like, for example, the tool dimension. In analysis services, I'm used to create a tool dimension practically in every cube. And so I have a dimension that contains all the transformation that have to be applied to a measure, like year-to-date, parallel period, and something like that. And this is usually something that requires me to put just a scope in MDX script, and that's fine. And I just copy and paste this from other cubes, and it usually works. So let me show how can I solve this problem in Tabular.
Oh, you have no problem at all to create tool dimension. Yeah. For example, in this Power Pivot workbook, I have created many measures. I have sum of sales amount, then I have year to date, then running total. And since you want one slicer that lets you select different kind of aggregation, I have created this slicer. And you see that if I click on parallel period, I get this the parallel period. Otherwise, I get the running total,
so the
or I compute
amount,
the year to date.
The sales amount column changes when you change the date calc. And so I don't have to create three measures. I just create one measure that is a sales amount tool, and depending on the selection you make on the date calc slicer, I obtain the correct result, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I would really love to see, the Power Pivot window.
Oh, nice. There is some Microsoft technician here in the room.
So yep.
No, just kidding. Anyway, interesting.
Do entertain people while I do a very quick debug of everything.
Let's end on Excel.
Let's
so the idea is that, you created this from a user perspective, but in terms of what you have to do in the data model, what you use to create this, do you have some wizard or some feature inside Power Pivot that do that or not?
I told you to entertain people.
Okay. Yeah. It's hard because, I don't know how to say something in English.
You can try to sing. You can try to do
not
a lot
able,
of different...
Not able, no. I'm not allowed to do that.
Sometime Power Pivot for Excel decided to stop.
Yeah, because it's a safe feature. Because it stopped working, now it disappeared.
And it doesn't work anymore.
So funny.
Yep.
Yeah, question.
Thanks.
What? Sorry.
Thanks for the question.
Okay.
I love you.
Okay, I try to repeat the question so that it is recorded. The question is about the maturity of the product. So the product doesn't have some features, and we generate... we don't have many-to-many, and we create many-to-many by using some DEX formula, okay? So this is what we do. Now, the idea is that in Tabular, by design,
do you know how to make
we
it
don't
work?
Have we don't have in Tabular a specific feature to create a complex model because it is a choice. So I don't expect to see in the future something like the many-to-many relationship put in the Tabular model. I could expect, or I could imagine, of wizard that simplify the construction of the DAX it is required to do the same. This is particularly true when it comes not just for many-to-many, because maybe many-to-many could be done in this way, but I think to other patterns that we use that...
Not yet.
that it works?
Not yet. Whoa, we got it.
I'm thinking about something that we will see in a few minutes, if everything works, because there are other operations that require much more DEX that could be simplified by some width, for example. And okay. So
we were at the point where I was trying to convince you that everything was very easy.
Yeah, when works.
Yep.
Now, let's try to see what have you written inside the sales amount measure.
Oh, that's a very elegant measure. You can see it.
You're using Power Pivot because it is the same model, right, as Tabular.
Yep.
You're using the same data model.
It's always that.
So you wrote this, if switch has...
What I basically do, I just check the value if you have selected something on the slicer, and then depending on the selection of the slicer, I show one of many measures.
But you had to create the three measures anyway.
Yeah, but I can hide them, or I can just write the DAX code here, not hard.
Okay, and what about if I have other measures other than sales amount? So I have the volume, the quantity, the margin.
There is a feature in Microsoft Windows which is copy and paste.
Okay.
And you can use it to create as many measures as you want.
But it would be not so readable. I mean, if you create a so large DAX code.
Yeah. Maybe so not so elegant. MDX. I agree.
Okay. MDX is better for tool dimensions. So we have we can work around on this in index, but we really don't simplify the code that we have to write because we had to duplicate the code for every measure. Now let's talk about parent-child hierarchies. I have heard that Tabular support parent-child hierarchies. So Alberto, can you show me parent-child hierarchies in
Absolutely.
Tabular? Yeah.
Parent-child in Tabular are very easy to code. We start with a table containing node ID, the node name, and the parent node ID, as you normally do in any parent-child hierarchy. And then by using just simple DAX calculated column, you create a hierarchy path, which contains the complete path to reach each node. Then you create several levels here, level 1, level 2, and level 3, always using DAX code.
It seems what I usually do in multidimensional when I have a lot of data and I have parent-child hierarchy. So I naturalize the hierarchy.
Yeah, you use Bits Helper.
Yeah, I use Bits Helper to do that. So is Bits Helper already available here?
Already available for multidimensional, for Tabular? Yep, it is.
Yes, but it doesn't.
It doesn't create this kind of stuff, but you can create it. It's pretty easy. Okay. Then once you have created all these level columns, so you simply create a hierarchy on top of them
and the result
is exactly what you might expect. You put the parent-child hierarchy here, then you take the sum of amount here, and you can see this is a classical parent-child, which is nothing strange.
Let me show all the levels, please.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a parent-child, so I expect a regular hierarchy to be shown.
Yeah.
I expect... let me understand.
That's very sexy, isn't it?
Why Annabelle is repeated three times in the same hierarchy?
She's a woman. She wants to show herself. And Annabelle. No.
No. I mean, it's the same node. It doesn't make sense that I see Annabelle repeated each time.
So you don't want to see these Annabelle.
No, exactly. I don't want to see them.
But I just follow Microsoft's suggestion to create parent-child hierarchy.
This is the out of the book.
I didn't do anything strange.
Alberto, please fix this.
Okay. If you don't want to see all these nodes, what you should do is to use some DAX code. I wrote this measure, which now works perfectly. It's not very easy to code. You have to learn DAX. You have to spend a lot of time. You have to at least...
Is there a wizard to do that?
Yep, the blog. Go to the blog, you read it.
Okay.
Let's move on.
I should not blog. Okay. Okay, Tabular has a support for hierarchies. You can apply some DAX code in order to create parent-child hierarchies. At the end, the result is not so different than what you can obtain in multidimensional, because also in multidimensional, almost always you end up creating a naturalized hierarchy. Unfortunately, the hide member if property is not supported by user interface in Visual Studio and in Power Pivot, and so you can work around this by creating some DAGs. But now, Alberto, let me show unary operator. If I have a unary operator in a hierarchy, can I do the same in tabular?
Obviously, yes.
Okay, let's
There's no problem. You can see. You can already see. This time I'm not going to show you. I'm just showing the final result, which is wonderful. You can see we have minus and plus signs on the pivot table, and everything is working perfectly.
Let me show the original table with this unary operator.
Well, the original data is pretty easy. You see, we have unary operator here. We have our fact table, and this is an account table with the parent ID and the unary operator. This is just the original table, and everything is working, as you might see.
So this is the out-of-the-box behavior of parent-child with unary operator with tabular?
Well, not exactly. You have to write some calculated code, but that's so complicated.
Let me show this code, please.
I want to learn. As you can see, you can start from the account, and then you need to create the unary operator column. And then, depending on the number of levels you have in the hierarchy, you need to create some calculated columns, which are designed at the different levels of the hierarchy. It's not very easy to write, but you can do that.
Yeah.
And at the end, you have all the columns which work, and you can easily create the measure that computes everything, which is amount parent child, which, I love this user interface. Yeah. Where is it? Okay. And you can see this is the code that runs and does all the magic for you by mixing together all the different levels.
And I can imagine that the wizard is always the blog because I don't.
Yep, of course. Okay. But the good news is that if you have 100 measures, you have to repeat that code 100 times. But it's something that you can do. It's not very complex.
Okay, because we don't have scopes. And so what about custom rollup?
What?
Custom rollup.
Do you really need them?
Some customer I have really need customer.
Don't work for that customer.
So this customer cannot move to tab. Okay, we don't.
They are simply not there.
Support for custom rollup. We have a support for unary operators in the sense that we can create some more complex model that is still fast, even if it requires some work index in tabular. So we can work around the lack of unary operators, but we don't have any real solution for custom rollup. And this is important because it can allow me to highlight that an important difference between the two models is that in tabular, you just have tables. Hierarchies are not part of the data model. You can create hierarchies in tabular just to say to the user interface, please, show this column, and then this column, and then this column. So you can do the drill down in Excel, for example. But in reality, the relationships existing between the members in these columns is not used in any type of calculation index. You can use the hierarchies in MDX, but internally the engine and the DAX language don't have any support for the hierarchies. For this reason, it's not only that the custom rollup are not existing in tabular. The point is that we don't have the notion of calculations based on hierarchies that propagates their effects on any other dimensions like we do usually in a dimensional model. So MDX script is not available. And we have seen with DateTool that not having the MDX script, not having the idea of being able to apply a transformation over the multidimensional space is a limitation. But we don't have a multidimensional space. We can see a set of tables like a cube, but this does not imply that we have a cube and we have a multidimensional space. Okay? So, hierarchy. I talked about hierarchies. We can define hierarchies in tabular. And we can define that a few columns have to be put in a certain order and shown to the end user that can drill down data. We can do that. And as I said, we don't have certain features like, for example, calculating the ratio with the parent is so easy in MDX because we have the notion of the hierarchy. And this, I'm not saying that it's hard, but it requires you a higher knowledge of the data model to be built in DAX. So, question, should I migrate my solution? If I have a cube today, what should I do if I want to migrate? And the idea is that if you have a cube that works, there is no reason to think to migrate this to multidimensional. The only reason you may have today is that you want to use PowerView. Because PowerView today only can query tabular models, because PowerView generates query index. But we know that one day, not so far, there will be possible to query with DAX a multidimensional cube, so your existing cubes will be able to be queried in PowerView. So this is not a good reason to make a migration. You may have a particular issue, a particular report that is low today in multidimensional, so I can suggest you to consider creating a tabular model to solve specific reporting issues you have for your cubes, but not to replace all the cubes. Also, because there is another issue, you can think, I have seen that someone is building up some product to ease the migration between multidimensional and tabular. But the problem is that, think about what you are doing. If you have a solution, you probably have reports and MDX code, MDX report somewhere. If your user saved an Excel workbook that has some query, some selection, this corresponds to some MDX code. It's really hard, if not impossible, to create a model in tabular that can be queried with the same, exactly the same MDX code. For example, in multidimensional, you have for each attribute a key and a name, a key and a value. In tabular, you don't have this syntax. So it is not possible to create a model in tabular that has the same MDX syntax to be queried that you can have in multidimensional. So you can migrate the solution in theory. You can rebuild the model, but you will end up having something where all the queries, all the reports you have to be rebuilt. So I don't know if this is a good idea. So who win? Tabular, raise your hand. Who votes for tabular? Who votes for multidimensional? And the answer is, you know, many of you don't express, and probably...
The null answer is always there.
How many of you are consultants? Because the answer is, it depends. It's the magic answer of a consultant. It depends, but it's real. Tabular is not the new EDM. It is one of the flavor of BISM. And it can run side by side with multidimensional. DAX is easier to learn and use, but you have different modeling techniques. Sometimes we have seen that sometimes we can solve some problem in tabular much better than in MDX, like the many-to-many, the distinct count. I know people in marketing that do customer retention analysis are so happy with tabular now, they run query so fast, they weren't able to do the same work, the same job in multidimensional. But at the same time, we have complex models in multidimensional that are very hard to be ported in tabular, and does not make sense to port them in tabular at all. So let's try to think about some question. We will have time for question, but I tried to anticipate the most common one. And the first is, should I migrate from multidimensional to tabular? And the answer is simple, no. I mean, I don't see a reason, a single reason to migrate the complete model. Maybe a single part, a single report, a single data mart, but not an existing solution, 100% of the solution. Well, I already have a multidimensional cube. I know the MDX. What I have to do? Well, it's good that you continue to use multidimensional by default. So, new project, okay, multidimensional. But you may consider Tabular for specific issues. So if you have a customer that says, oh, I have this cube with regular measures, everything is good, but at a certain point you see five different distinct count measures, complex analysis over time, and so on, you may think for this specific report to create a Tabular model. I'm new to analysis services. I don't know MDX. I don't know DAX. I have to start tomorrow what I use. Well, start with Tabular because it's simpler. You have less features. You have less complex modeling techniques. But time to go in production, time to learn DAX is faster. So, as you have seen, I also say use Tabular, but check requirements first. Check that you are not going on a wall with your car, because you are going to get a project where there is some feature that is very important that you will not have in Tabular. So what are these requirements that are important? Well, if you have to support translations, you don't have a real solution in Tabular. You just have to use multidimensional. Maybe in the United States this is not a big issue, but I can assure you that I have a lot of companies in Europe that just stop at the first point of this slide and say, okay, wait for the next release, because they cannot afford having just a single language. If you have calculations that strongly depends on hierarchies, this is another scenario in which multidimensional is stronger. You can consider Tabular when you have several distinct count measures on large tables, and the processing time is a concern. Even if Tabular does not support many-to-many out of the box, in reality, it is much faster than multidimensional handling many-to-many in complex scenarios. If you go on our SQLBI.com website, there is a white paper, 120 pages probably, that describes several patterns for many-to-many in both multidimensional and Tabular. I think I have enough experience to say that Tabular is way faster than multidimensional in this scenario. If you want to partition a dimension, for whatever reason, you have a dimension with 20, 30, 40 millions of rows, and you want to process just a slice of these rows, well, you have an option in Tabular to do that. So processing time can be reduced. Note, in Tabular, you have to buy RAM. So this is the only issue you have. So what you have to do for considering Tabular in the right way, learn DAX. You have very few properties that you can apply to your objects in your model in Tabular, but you can express a lot of calculation and you can obtain a lot of other features by just using DAX. So DAX is important. DAX is simple, but it's not easy. Requires some time to be learned. That is smaller than MDX. You can learn different modeling techniques. I suggest you to think about the snapshot issue that I described before, because really, if you remove the ETL, if you remove the snapshot, you recover a lot of money in terms of work, in terms of storage. So you can buy the RAM you need, for example, or you can buy a new server with the same money. And build some prototypes. Don't make a porting of your existing model. You will obtain a worse experience. Especially if you already have users, you will provide them with something that is less valuable than what they already have. And build a new project. Build a new experiment on a new project, on a new report. Try to build a prototype. This is what you should do. Well, some related content. These are sessions that already happened in this TechEd, so you will be able to watch the recorded sessions. And some resources, of course, as usual. track resources as usual, and finally remember to complete the evaluation on ComNet, because you can win and you can say, give us feedback about what you have seen. We have time now for your questions. Question? Excuse me?
Data load times.
Data load times? Do you have? What's the question about data load? Okay. I repeat the question. Anyway, there are microphones, so if other people want to make question, it's easier if you go to the microphone. So the question is about loading data, time to load data, or frequency to refresh data, right? Well, first of all, when you process data, data is stored in memory, but is also written to disk, so that if you restart the service, the time required to be up and running is just the time required to read the sort of backup of the image memory on disk. So the data that you have on disk are just a backup of what you have in memory. This information has to be recreated according to the frequency that you want to have. So if you know that your source data change every day, you can run the refresh daily. You can partition data the same way you can partition data in multidimensional, and I would say that in tabular this is much more flexible, because in multidimensional you can just partition the fact tables, whereas in tabular you can partition any table, dimension, fact, it doesn't matter. Have you answered? Okay. Other questions? There.
Are there any utilities to estimate what kind of RAM requirements you might have?
Oh, good question. The question is, are there tools that can estimate the requirement of RAM? And the answer is no, comma, and it's very hard to build one, because we don't have a formula. I mean, you can easily say that if you have a database in SQL Server that is 1 gigabyte, you will require less than 1 gigabyte. But the problem is that sometime we can observe a 10 times improvement in compression, so we go down to 100 megabytes, but sometime we can reach 100 times of compression. For example, the 4 billion rows table that Alberto used before is stored in 15 gigabytes in RAM.
15 gigabytes in RAM, and it is more or less 60 gigabytes on disk.
60 gigabytes on disk on SQL Server in a compressed format. So we enabled all the compression in SQL Server, and we have a 60 gigabytes. So the original data is much larger. In terms of uncompressed data, the OLTP data is much larger. So for this reason, it's hard to say, because if you think about this parameter, what we do usually is trying to understand if the number of rows and the columns that we have and the number of distinct values of the columns could be managed or not in memory. I mean, if I have a single column in the fact table, if Alberto adds a column in the fact table of 4 billion rows that contains a unique ID for every row, we are going to more than double the size of the table just because of one column. So again, it's very hard to make a forecast about that, unfortunately. Other questions? Oh, there. Oh, I cannot hear. Can you go to the microphone so it's easier? Sorry.
Do you recommend you know the multidimensional services and the tabular services, you know, tabular model, you know, they are installed on a different server or on the same server?
Yes.
repeat the question.
Okay, the question is about, I talked about the different servers for tabular and multidimensional, right?
So we can install on the same server, we also can install on the separate server. So which we...
I try to explain my slide. You can install as many instances as you want on the same server. So you can install multidimensional, tabular, and as many instances as you want. This is not an issue. However, if you consider the best hardware you can have for example, imagine you have a budget of $10,000. How can I spend $10,000 in the best way for tabular? And how can I spend them for multidimensional? My idea is that you will not spend the same amount of money in the same way. If I know that I have to optimize a server for multidimensional, I will buy some solid-state disk, for example. Some local disk, solid-state disk, is very important. For tabular, I will not spend this money in this way. I will spend more money in RAM, and I will buy a cheaper disk. If I have no limits on my budget, I will buy both. But usually, I have some constraint, and I try to optimize the allocation of my budget. So when I say, don't use the same server for both, if you have to run them side by side, also because you have only one license of SQL Server, for example, then of course you don't have any other way to do that. But if you have if you have the freedom of choose the right hardware for this type of service, consider that the priorities are different. This is what I meant. Okay? Question. Yeah, okay. I repeat the question. The question is about when we run some query, at a certain point we had some cache working. What does it mean? There is some duplication of data in memory. At a certain point, yes, this happened, but what happened really is this. When the DAX query runs, the DAX query is converted in calls, in requests to the storage engine. When I say that X velocity is not really DAX, I mean that DAX is a language that generates requests to the storage engine. These requests are not in DAX. These requests are requests, imagine SQL, okay? And when this request comes to the storage engine, the result of a request is stored in a cache, and usually is a very small answer. Even if you have 4 billion rows, usually you have 10, 100 rows as an answer. This answer to the query that you made before is in cache. If another query comes to the storage engine and is identical to the previous one, the cache is recovered. And so instead of scanning the table, he gets the result of the query, more or less like SQL. So if you continuously create new queries and new requests, you will not use the cache because the cache will be emptied and recycled. But if you have different queries index that generates a similar or the same request to the storage engine, cache is involved, cache is used. For this reason, even if Alberto ran different queries, because they were similar, because he added only one column, part of the query were already in cache. And so for this reason, it was faster. Okay?
C'era una domanda là.
There? I repeat the question. The question is about, at a certain point, I mentioned the number of scans that are done on a table. The SQL profiler has a particular event, which is DAX query plan, that provides you the DAX query plan. Unfortunately, the DAX query plan today is a string, very long, not so easy to understand, but not very well documented. But again, there is something better than nothing, I would say. We survived many years without having this information in NDX, at least today we have something. So let's see the good part of that. And by using this information, you can understand what is happening at the storage engine level. And this is the information that we use it to say what we said before. Okay? Other questions? 50 seconds? No? No question? Finished. Okay, thank you very much.